I'm Jeremy Greer.
I'm Chris Mosier.
And I'm Bob Wess.
And this is Monster of the Week, the creepy but necessary podcast that has covered every single episode of the TV show Supernatural and has now switched to covering people that also cover Supernatural. Welcome to our guest, Bob Wess. Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you for guesting. Looking forward to this whole conversation for the last few weeks as we've been planning this. So, yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad we finally worked out schedules.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, are you doing well this fine evening?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't talked about Supernatural in like a month, so I'm ready to get
it's
back
been
into
a while.
It. I watched Bob's video about the finale, and now I'm mad as hell again.
Right, that'll happen. That will happen.
I'm here to fire up everyone once in a while.
Yeah,
there.
Keep the flames alive.
Absolutely, yeah.
The pain of alive.
Yeah. As long as people are in pain, I'm still relevant. So
mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to model your content after, because people are always in pain. That's never going to go away.
Pain is eternal, and that's been Monster of the Week. So see you next week, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, for those that may not be familiar with you and what you do, do you want to kind of take a minute to describe your YouTube channel and the other various things that you get up to?
I just kind of take a look at random things with Supernatural. I don't really have an agenda per se, kind of go where the wind blows. But yeah, mostly I do breakdowns. I started doing a sort of a breakdown of kind of the scope of Destiel in Supernatural to begin with, and then sort of just branched into general episode commentary and season commentary and stuff like that.
Excellent. I've watched several of your videos now, and I'm always interested in getting like other people's opinions on Supernatural, because it felt like Chris and I were for so long in our own little like just Faraday cage, because we were just so disconnected from the outside Supernatural world, and it was only towards like the end of the show, and we started getting to the end of the show, that we started like having those connections into the fandom. So it's always super interesting, and your stuff is very, very good. Like it's a lot of fun to watch. So,
well, thank you. Yeah, I had kind of a similar thing where I had watched the show on my own. I didn't even have like many friends who watched it, and then sort of towards the end, I was like, I have opinions, and I would like to say something about that. And then after that, sort of met the fandom at large. I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
So you guys also have opinions, and do you want to tell me your opinion? No, that's not the way this works. I want to tell you my opinions.
It is weird, like watching a show, even so obviously we watched the show prior to doing a podcast, but even with the podcast, like Jeremy and I, like you said, would mostly just be talking to each other and like have our bubble of opinion. And then as mm-hmm. that branched out, which is, it is very important to branch out, because as I've looked back on everything we've done, I realize like week to week, I don't even know what my own opinion is. It just changed constantly. And I think the format of the podcast, you know, only one episode per week, and then sort of not doing anything Supernatural related outside of that, just my opinions were all over the place. So sometimes it's very important to stop and check in with people who have formulated more, I don't know, constructed opinions than what we had.
what made you start watching Supernatural originally?
Oh, I had a friend who tried to get me to watch it from like season one all the way up, and I refused like outright. I was just like, nope, we're not doing this. And then season eight hit Netflix, and I was sort of like, I was just kind of having one of those days where you're really bored and you're like, oh, what the hell ever, I'll open it up and look at it. And I started watching it. What had stopped me from watching it, I somehow mixed up Supernatural and Smallville. So I thought Supernatural was like a Superman origin story. I'm like, I'm not interested in this.
I mean,
I started watching it, and I had that idea for like three episodes. I was like, man, this is like some real avant-garde shit. What are we talking about?
Superman is two guys in this one? I don't understand.
Which one of them is Superman?
I didn't know he had a brother.
Yeah. It's like the like fourth one. I like look it up on Google. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Which one's Clark?
Which one's Clark and which one's Lois? I need to know.
It's these two, right?
Yeah, I shouldn't have asked earlier. Can I curse on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. We're marked as, you know, adult on iTunes or whatever. And
parental advisory.
I always curse like 7,000 times first, and I'm like, ah, crap, can I do that?
Should I have asked that? Yeah, absolutely. Chris and I were discussing the many and varied works of Clive Barker on our other podcast the other day, which you can't, I don't think you can talk about Clive Barker without cursing, so, or just saying a bunch of bad words. So.
Without talking about cum magic?
Yeah.
So when you started watching Supernatural, to take it back to the topic again, and you realized eventually this isn't Superman. So obviously you started from season one, right? You said season 8 had just come to Netflix. Okay. Yeah. Now, after you realized it wasn't about Superman, when did you feel like it started to be a show that you liked, first of all, and then when did it develop into maybe something beyond I like this show?
I liked it pretty early on. Like, you know, pretty early into season one, I was just like, oh, this is great. And then I had to call my friend who had tried to get me to watch it from season one and be like, yeah, I'm sorry.
So was this friend trying to get you into it from the airing of season one? So like what, 2005?
Yeah, from 2005.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you took 8 years,
yeah,
give or take.
8 years. And then finally was like, oh, crap. He still watched it at that point too. So I was like, all right, we can watch it together. I'm sorry.
Knock, knock. Sorry. Yeah, there's a thing I've discovered I've done recently is I've started getting into shows or games or whatever it is, or albums even, that my friends were really into like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I'm like, hey, I know I never gave you the time of day when you talked about this back in high school, but now I'm super into that thing. Will you talk to me about it? No, you don't want to talk about it anymore? Okay.
Yeah. Kind of miss that.
Yeah.
Miss that opportunity.
Yeah, Chris has been talking to me about the manga Berserk for probably since the minute I have known him, almost definitely the moment that we met on Twitter, and I'm just now reading it in 2022. So I'm a bad friend.
It happens. Sometimes it's hard to really get into something when somebody is like cheerleading it super hard, because you're like, no, wait, that's your thing. That's not my thing. You do your thing over there, and then eventually, you like you said, you find your way to it because you're bored one day, and then suddenly it changes your life.
Yeah. It's also like kind of easier to like be like, oh, I haven't seen it, than like the risk of like, I have seen it and I hated it.
Right. That is true.
Here's a question that I think we should ask more people as we do these. Would you recommend Supernatural to a new person now?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. Excellent. That's pretty. Yeah. I'll take that endorsement. Yeah. Probably.
I think
my answer would be the same. It was just a firm probably.
Like, it would be a dialogue. Like, I couldn't answer it yes or no. Like, if someone walked up off the street and was like, should I watch Supernatural? I would be like, I sit down. We need to talk this through.
Do you like having a lot of TV to watch? First question. Second question, do you like pain? What's your pain tolerance? It is a hefty thing to recommend to somebody, though. 15 seasons. I don't know how many hours that breaks down to, but I bet it's more than a few.
Yeah.
Someone in our Discord did the math when they were comparing that to the Monster of the Week podcast, like how many hours of each, and we're definitely more hours than the show, which is astronomically stupid on our part, but
that's sort of embarrassing. Yeah.
Bob, have you rewatched it at all since it finished?
Yeah, I've rewatched it a lot. I mean, you know, it's hard because I haven't done it in order, because I will rewatch an episode for a video I'm doing or something. But I think I've rewatched almost the entire thing again since season 15 ended.
Oh wow! Okay,
oh, wow,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
I like seeing people do the crazy orders. Like I've seen some people do like a Misha only run, where only episodes with Misha Collins as Castiel in it, or presumably Misha Collins as whoever he is playing that week.
Yeah, he's got a few in there.
He's definitely got a few. Not as many as Jared. I think Jared has the most alternate cast names.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, if I remember right.
I would have been sure that it would have been Misha.
Yeah, me too.
Jeremy, we're going to need some data on this.
I
want to hear those fingers Googling.
Twitter.com/localbones to add for any questions. I think so. I remember looking this up and being surprised because it was right around the time we started the podcast, and like Jared just had a list of AKAs after his name on the show. Like it was, he plays Sam Winchester, AKA.
He would.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, what made you start making videos? What made you kind of, I mean, obviously you have opinions and you want to share the opinions, and you realize like, oh no, I don't want people to talk back to me. I just want to share my opinions to them. Which is why we started a podcast, because we didn't want anybody to argue.
Right.
Yeah. Like most things in my career, accidentally, I would say. So I got my husband really, really hard into Supernatural. And he liked watching kind of those videos that were like kind of like funny, like crack humor videos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like made one for him that I knew he would like really like. And then I had put it on YouTube because it was easiest to you know, send it to him. And he was like, just make that public so people can see it. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then like some people were watching it and I was like, hi, all right. And then like despair aired and I was like, I have some emotions.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just say them and then I'll have it out of my head and I won't ever have to think about this again.
Mm-hmm.
Famous last words. I made a video about that and I had accidentally in it, I had said like, if I ever wanted to do this properly, like look at it on a whole, it would end up being like a 15 episode like, or 15 video like series. And so it's like better that I'll just get it out now. And then everyone was like, I got a bunch of comments being like, well, do that. I want to see those. And, you know, it's COVID times. The film industry was dead and I was just in my room. I was like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Cut to 2 years later.
Now here we are.
Now this is my job. How did this happen?
Yeah.
How did the Destiel thing work out for you as somebody who came in it to it relatively late? Did your friends kind of prep you for it and maybe even use that to say like, oh, you have to see these two characters, or did you come at that naturally, or like how did that
evolve? But like, you know, I did exist on the internet, so like I definitely had heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew. But it was weird because like there are a lot of shows where people ship people who I don't necessarily like see as like I don't see the ship.
Name five. Just sort of like, let's piss everybody off. Yeah. Name five.
Let's do this.
Can't name five.
I'm just kidding. I'm not gonna put you on the spot like that.
Yeah. But yeah, we're not making enemies here. But yeah, I just sort of dismissed it. I was like, yeah, that's probably a thing that I won't like, you know, it'll be whatever it is. And I was watching through, you know, Cass is even in the first few seasons, which confused me because that's all I heard about. And I was like, I guess I'll show up eventually. He showed up in season four. I was like, huh. And I, you know, there's chemistry between them, but not like romantic chemistry for a while. So I was just sort of like, yeah, okay. So this is definitely just one of those things I'm not going to see. And I think it wasn't until like halfway through like season six, I was like, huh. We're going somewhere.
Yeah. It is interesting when you just being on the internet and you see ships a lot, whether for whatever it is, and sometimes you eventually, you know, watch that show or whatever it is, and you realize like those characters have talked to each other twice. How is there so much fan art of these two? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. But I think the thing with Supernatural is that you get in there and then you get to a certain point and you're like, this isn't like a fan theory, this isn't like imagined. Yeah. Like there's a lot in front of me on the screen, like this is real.
Yeah, you don't have to go looking,
because like explicitly Jeremy and I like weren't looking for it when we started. Yeah. Like we were like weren't interested in any ships whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That's just not really like how we consumed media. But then getting to it and slowly over time being like, oh, like they have to be doing this on purpose. This is just seems so clear and obvious. I think Supernatural was very much trying to not do it on purpose, which is weird. But you would think after a certain point they'd go, "Oh, okay, well, let's just lean into it." But no,
I think the finale made pretty clear that there's a. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to just generalize every single person that worked on the TV show Supernatural, but like there's a big contingent of people that are responsible for creating Supernatural that have no idea why people like Supernatural. Like they haven't clued into it. I mean, and not everybody likes the show for the same reasons. And, you know, we can, you know, caveat, what all that stuff. But like watching the finale, especially watching your video today, Bob, like it just reminded me the three music montages and the two different versions of Carry On My Wayward Son and the blurry wife, Blursula, and like the whole situation just thinking like, who were you guys? Like, this is all fan service for fans that don't exist, I think. Like, I don't know who this is for.
Is this for the like 12 fans on Facebook that I saw being.
It's like, always the Facebook fans. It's always the Facebook fans. They live in a realm of their own.
Yeah. You're like, I'm glad you liked it.
God, thank God they're on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's very funny to me.
Yeah, it is bizarre that it seems like Supernatural, and I feel like I'm repeating myself at this point, but Supernatural seems to think that they were still in that like X-Files days audience, or like, I don't even know if X-Files is the right example because that was such a popular show, but they're like, no, only like nerdy dudes and like rock and roll people like this show. I'm like, I don't know if that was ever the case, man.
It's like, you certainly have them too, but they're not going to stick around for everything else. And since you had everything else,
right,
your audience is different than you think.
And it is further wild to me because I feel like Supernatural probably has, outside of something like Star Trek or maybe Star Wars, but probably has like the biggest one-on-one, or maybe not the biggest, but the most one-on-one interactions between, you know, actors on the show and direct fans, right? Like, Supernatural is one of like the biggest convention shows ever. And they do, I mean, especially before COVID, they were doing convention after convention after convention, and you could always, you know, get photo ops. And I just, like, I can't imagine people looking at the pictures that would come out of there, or the people are hearing the stories and going, yep, montages. That's what we need in our final episode. Right. I can't get over it, man. Bobby, you did the math and came up with, like, I think it was 22.5% of the finale is a music montage. And it just, I haven't rested since. Like,
yeah.
I have no peace.
Too. I'm like going through it. I was like, oh, it's way worse than I thought.
Yeah. Fuck, man. That's ridiculous.
I was like trying to prove to myself that I was like over exaggerating. And I was like, oh, I didn't do that.
So you made this video about despair, right? And was this before the finale had aired, that you, the time that you made the video?
When I recorded it, I actually am not sure if I uploaded it before or after the finale. I think I might have uploaded it after the finale. It was a while ago, but
so you probably already had your hopes dashed at that point.
yeah. By the time I posted it, I was just like, well. Damn.
There's no coming back. It is weird to think, Jeremy, when did we finish the podcast? Like 2 months ago,
okay,
or so?
That sounds good.
Roughly 2 months ago.
What is time?
And when we watched,
none of us knew when we did things.
Yeah, right. When we watched the final episode, I like cried my eyes out, which I did not expect to happen. That's not something I experienced a lot in my life, with you know, media, with TV shows. And since then, it feels like I've thought less and less and less about it because I grieved the show. And now the more that I've thought about it, it really did feel like something died for me with that ending. Even at the time, I didn't even hate it that much because I was so emotional about everything and it made me feel so many feelings that I didn't have like hatred for it. But as time has gone on, it's like, wow, what a wet fart way to end your series. Like, what the hell, like, to go from this meteoric emotional moment in season 15 episode 18 to then just to Blursula and to montages in the finale, it's just that's unprecedented. Shit fart, yeah, at the end there.
It's easy to overlook too the, I think, episode 19, which, Chris, you described on the podcast as like five episodes compressed in the space of one. And Bob, today I heard you call it like a Stephen Moffat Doctor Who episode, which is like, oh, we have 120 minutes of ideas into a 40-minute TV show. Go. Yeah. And it's easy to overlook because it's just middling. And the finale, I think, is you have such a strong emotional reaction to it. And then 15-18, you have such a strong emotional reaction to it, no matter like what part of that spectrum that you're on. And then 15-19 is like, oh yeah, we wrapped up that plot thing. we went ahead and just did all the plot stuff.
It doesn't make sense why they wouldn't at least stretch that plot out over the two episodes that they had. And then maybe not do 45 minutes of montage.
I do think that, but then sometimes I remember the long scene in which Lucifer is just building a like house of cards and go, maybe we ran out of plot for that, despite the fact that I think we had way too much yeah. plot for it. We somehow also ran out of plot for yeah. it.
They had all the ideas, but no idea how to like fill them in. Yeah. It was just the headlines yeah. without any of the context. Yeah,
I
had somehow blocked all of the Lucifer scenes out of my memory, and now they are all rushing back. Yeah. And I,
my ears are burning. I'm just getting really angry. I'm sorry. Every time that we talk to a guest, we're like, okay, we'll let them talk. But instead, we just end up complaining about the end of Supernatural.
That's what Supernatural is for. Yeah. It's just a therapy catalyst.
Yeah.
Right. We all find right. comfort in each other.
Men will do a podcast about 324 episodes of television as opposed to going to therapy. How did, I'm curious, like, because you said you didn't really have a direct connection to the wider community or the fandom of Supernatural when you started making these videos, because as we found out, like, Destiel can be a very hot button issue. It's how well were they received? Like, did you get any of that negative feedback that make you go like, why am I even doing this if this is the kind of stuff I'm getting? Or was it mostly just positive?
I think I got lucky. It was mostly positive. Which was good, because I was expecting when I started putting out, you're like closing your eyes and like hitting the send button, just really like, I hope that went well. I think I was at a bit of an advantage being a bisexual guy, just talking a little bit about bisexual guys, you know, in general, like specifically in film industry, because I started my first video that I actually did and structured a lot of it was just talking about like the history of, you know, queer media basically, and it's something I know very well and something I can talk about, so it kind of broke the ice, so people are like, oh, okay, this guy seems all right, and then they're willing to hear me out after that.
Well, good. I'm glad that was the case. We got kind of adopted by the overarching nice Destiel community pretty early yeah. on, and then as we continued to watch the show, like, there was definitely some people we got a complaint recently that said we got an iTunes review that said we're too mean to Sam, and so she only gave us 4 stars instead of 5. She loves the podcast, but we lost a star because we're too mean to Sam.
Which I always felt like we were way too nice to him. Maybe it's we do make a lot of jokes at his expense, rightfully so. But I yeah. always felt like I was the Sam defender. Like, I'm the only guy who likes this idiot. Okay, well, I guess that's my problem right there, is assuming that everyone hates him. Maybe that sort of circled back to. Yeah, I don't know. That's such a bizarre thing. But yeah, we were sort of adopted by that side of the fandom, which I do think helped inform our perception of the show in ways that I guess I never really expected.
Yeah. I got an email once that said I was too mean to Cass, which was wild.
Interesting.
Wow.
It's just like, I guess I hate my favorite character.
One of our very early pieces of feedback was somebody who I will never forget this quote till, like, I'll be saying this to my wife on my deathbed, where she says, where they said, "I am a witch, and I can help you with the lore." And I remember reading that to Chris and thinking, I don't, do we need help from a witch? I don't know.
In retrospect, I think that we should have accepted that offer.
No, I was going to say, like, that doesn't come knocking all the time.
No, man. It's not often that a witch, I can assume a lore master comes knocking on the door and says, hey, I've got some info for you. Usually you've got to, talk to an old college professor or like meet somebody at a weird diner, the way that Sam and Dean usually gather intel. But this person came to us.
Yeah.
And we didn't accept it.
I think I was very nice on the response. I can't remember what I wrote, but I responded to everybody back then. So yeah.
Yeah. You said, please DM @localbones on Twitter.
Maybe that's what I did. So Castiel is the favorite character. I was going to ask that when we started talking about Sam and Dean, and then you just kind of mentioned it just then.
Yeah. I'm just coming out of the gate with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely, because it's hard to really pick between the three of them. But I think a slight edge. It's just because I identify with Cass.
That seems to be. I like Castiel as a character, but I think even more so I think it's just the huge amount of people that see themselves in him. It just makes me think that he'll be one of, like, in 10 years, people will still be talking about, like, the impact of Castiel more so than the impact of Supernatural specifically. If that makes
sense. I do wonder if Castiel is going to be kind of become that, like, iconic thing that people will think about when they talk about Supernatural. Yeah. I mean, it seems like he had the most profound ending out of any of the characters. He's got the most iconic fit, you know, that trench coat, that's not going away. I know they kind of stole it from Constantine or whatever they took it from. I don't remember. Lucifer, is that where they took it from, Jeremy?
It's kind of a Constantine vibe, but like not, I mean.
It's not important. It's a Castiel thing now. Yeah. he's the icon. He's the icon of the show. After a certain point, anyway. That's weird. I mean, my favorite character was, for most of my time watching the show, was Sam. But when I think of Supernatural, the first thing that comes to mind is Castiel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot of times what I think when I tell people, going back to that, like, would you recommend Supernatural? Like, absolutely. Like, it's a really good show, and then it gets a lot better in season 4, which is a real hard sell for people. Like, you got to watch like 48 episodes, and then and then a character will show up that will make some, change your entire outlook on everything.
It's funny because 10 years ago, I used to be like, well, you just got to get through like the first half of season 1, and then it gets good. And everything has sort of changed. The perspective of everything has changed so much as time has passed. But of course, as the show itself has grown too, and what the show, I guess, became sort of changed.
Yeah. it's a wild show to try to like figure out where each individual person is going to start like really getting hooked. It's like my husband was like, episode 2, Wendigo, his favorite episode of the entire show. So like,
hell yeah.
Got him immediately. I was like, wow. And then like I have other friends who will be like kind of done with season 1, and they'll be like, and I'm like, keep watching. I know you're going to like it. Just
I think I got hooked to my shame. I think it was whenever like when the episode where John finally comes back to meet them. I think the vampire episode, whatever that's called. Because the mystery, I didn't know anything about Supernatural when I started watching it. It was like 2008. And the mystery was, where's dad? What happened to him? So I'm just hooked. I'm just interested in this mystery. What's going on with this? Where's this guy? and then he finally shows up and they hunt vampires together. And then there's a series of like cliffhangers, and they start really building out the lore at the end of season 1. Yeah. And then after that, it definitely fucked up my life for a couple of years when it was all I really thought about. But that's what it really got me.
The years leading up to the season 5 finale were, and I know like the first 5 seasons are great. It's kind of an old hackneyed trope with Supernatural nowadays. Mm-hmm. But I was watching them like week to week. Like they were appointment watching television for me and my wife. Like from the very beginning, I was hooked. I was all in. And that build up, that like explosion of the lore and like bringing the angels in and doing all this weird God stuff and then leading up to the apocalypse. I mean, I was so excited about Supernatural, and then kept going like season 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like I was all into it. My wife eventually fell off, but like, I don't know. I just loved the world and everything. And yeah, I don't know, man. Like it's such a fun show until it turns into, you know, horrible pain, emotional pain. Yeah. And even that's fun too. So.
Yeah, I watched, you know, obviously I watched through 8 when it was on, you know, Netflix, and then I ran out of episodes and I was like, ah, heck.
What have I done to myself?
Time to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah. And then I started watching, you know, episode by episode until partway into season 13, and then I stopped until season 15 was airing, and then came back and had to catch up and everything. Again, from Shane, the same guy who tried to get me to start from begin with. He was like, it's the last season. You have to catch up. We can watch weekly together so I have someone to talk to. And I caught up and I started watching it. And like 3 episodes in, he stopped watching it weekly. I was like, you
ass. Oh my God.
Wow. Betrayed.
Like, cool. Now I'm here.
It set you up to experience that pain. Yeah. Live in real time when you could have watched the internet react safely and know that, you know, that you were going to feel these feelings. Instead, you had to walk into it blind, and that's not very fair.
And alone. Oh,
brutal. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The audacity.
That's just payback for me.
Yeah.
Keeping waiting 8 years.
Right. Who needs friends when you have friends? God.
I am jealous that you got to watch live, though, because I got to say, I think when season 15 came out, we were still in season 13 on the podcast. And that was at the point where we had both caught up to the episodes we had seen previously before we started the podcast. So we were all in new territory. And Man, just trying to like Neo in the Matrix dodge spoilers was just so hard. You would open up Twitter and it'd be like, and of course, you know, 1518 happened, and then all of a sudden I knew there was going to be a super jail and that Castiel went there. So you couldn't avoid that at all. But trying to avoid some of the finale stuff was really difficult.
It seemed like it got spoiled like immediately. Like you couldn't avoid it, which is fine. But from only seeing the light little outer details, I just thought completely the episode was Castiel just confessed his romantic love to Dean. Like, oh my God, this show really did it. After all this time, they really, really did it. And that was my out of context perception. So it just seems like, isn't that the best thing in the world? They actually did it. After all these years, they actually did it. And then it's like, but.
Yeah.
But. And I didn't get that but for a little while. It wasn't, I think, until the finale aired, and slowly seeing the vague reactions, and then over time kind of piecing together, you know, bits and pieces of information and realizing, oh, that was a pretty big butt that they dropped after that.
I was lucky because I kind of got to prepare myself a bit, because I had remembered Misha giving an interview saying that the episode Despair, but he didn't title it, but that episode was his last episode. And so I, like, as they were coming back, everyone's like, I can't believe that you don't think that he'll be back for the finale. And I was just like, he said he wouldn't be. Once upon a time, I remember that.
I guess we should have known. The episode's called Despair.
It's
you know, they didn't title it. They didn't title it Love. You know, that's a pretty different vibe.
They didn't call it They Buy a House and Get Some Chickens.
I didn't see any chickens.
No chickens whatsoever. What was watching like Despair like, and seeing that confession for the first time as somebody who, you know, I mean, obviously, like, there's basically hardly any representation of bisexual men in any media at all. Like, it's still you know queer men is one thing, because that seems it seems not necessarily standard, but it seems like there's representation there. But like, if you mention the word bisexual, even to men or women, it's like the room clears out in Hollywood or something. It's really strange.
It's great. I love it. watching it live was an experience, because I didn't think they were going to do it until they actually did it. And I mean, the entire speech and everything, I was like, expected them to like kind of pump fake, like pull back at the last second. So like, yeah, you think it's romantic, but like, we're not committing. And so I just kept watching. I was just like, man, you're going to have to pull back hard. How are you guys going to save this? What are you guys about to do? And then like, he says, I love you. And I was just like,
they did it.
Huh.
They absolutely did it.
I was like bracing myself so hard for how they pulled back that I didn't have a big reaction when it happened. Because I was like, I kind of like shut everything down. I was just kind of staring. And then like after it goes to commercial after that, I was sort of like, huh. My husband next to me is just crying. And I was just like, wow. He's like, wow. What?
So when did the commercial break happen? Do you remember?
It's got to be after you see, because he goes to
he goes into the ooze, and then it's just Dean sitting there and
sobbing.
Then if you're watching it not live,
and then you got to watch like a Geico commercial or something.
yeah.
What the fuck?
And then a lizard comes on the screen, and it's not Edgar,
fuck
our
that
friend.
Lizard.
Yeah.
I gotta look at a fucking
right
gecko.
It's like, you don't know my pain, Geico.
Yeah, what the hell?
I'm cracking up thinking about your husband sitting there like openly weeping on a show that you made him watch and that you made him get into, and then now you're just like stoic Bob over there not feeling anything.
Wow.
I could say 15% on my car insurance, man. Come on. What are you thinking about right over there?
Yeah. And then it doesn't even cut back to Dean. It cuts back to Jack and Sam, like, coming out of
God.
The silo.
And what are they even doing in that silo? At that point, you don't remember. You don't care.
Yeah. Like, that was, like, a year ago. I don't know what's going on. Are
like, I recognize the tall guy, but who's the little one with him? I don't even remember. My world has changed. God damn that commercial break.
Yeah, it was not good. It was, I will say the finale was way worse every time it cut to commercial.
Oh, God. You're just like, what the fuck is going to happen next? How many commercial breaks were in Dean's death scene? Like 3 or 4?
I think there was one exactly before and exactly after.
I think it's funny. Jeremy, since we recorded, has been joking about how long that was and comically long it was. At the time, I was crying too hard at the time, so I don't really remember. But every time now that I remember it, it just gets longer and longer to the point where I'm like, okay, they go to like a pie festival, and then I guess there at that night, Dean dies at the place at the pie fest. I can't remember them traveling. And then he's dying for 34 minutes, and then there's a flashback, I think, and then Sam's old, and that's it. And then the crew is there. The entire crew is there.
Oh man, the Dean dying thing. I don't want to spoil a movie that people potentially haven't seen, but I was watching the new Spider-Man movie, and a character dies, just a random character dies, and they spend not as long as they did with Dean, but they spend a pretty long time dying and like laying on their back and like giving a speech and you know, telling Peter Parker that he's a good boy or whatever it is. And I just, every time I see a death scene now, I just immediately flash back to just Dean Winchester pinned to the wall and not able
start
to
the
move.
Timer.
Yeah. And I just, man, somebody, I think it was somebody on our Discord, did the math and or looked it up, and the place they were in, the average EMT response time is like 3.5 minutes. So, yeah. And I think it's like a 10-minute death scene or something.
So yeah, this was a homicide on Sam's part. Yeah.
Sam Winchester kills Dean.
This is manslaughter, like something like that.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
It's also hard because, like, you know, in addition to film, I was an EMT for a number of years.
Oh my god! So it's a double whammy.
Yeah, you know, it's a double whammy.
So you watch a man die for 7 minutes, and then somebody tries to convince you to buy a Toyota truck. It's just unbelievable.
Wait, did Supernatural, did Despair, and did those three episodes air during Toyotathon? And I just not know that, because that's a huge lore. That's a huge lore idea of true.
I just can't imagine having to experience those feelings live with commercials.
Me either.
Like that's brutal. That hurts.
Especially because CW, because they're, you know, frantically boiling water out of a sinking ship, has more commercials than a normal television thing. So normally you have about 45 minutes of TV and about 15 minutes of commercial, but they have like, I think, 23 minutes of commercial.
Wow. So, like,
that does make sense. That does make sense.
Little content.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh God. Cause I think if Dean's going to take that long and then they hit you with that Geico commercial and then you come back and I might forget what just happened. I'm still fucked up from Despair 2 weeks ago. Yeah. I'm still thinking about that. I don't remember who all these characters are anymore. And then So there's the tall one. Where's the little one that's always with him? I don't remember.
Why is the tall one old? It says Chris.
Yeah. Well, see, you get, that's why the music montage is there. They don't say anything. You have some while to kind of like remember, like, oh yeah, these guys again.
These fellows.
I'm curious, after all these episodes and after the series ended the way it did, like, what is your level of faith in Jensen's new project, like this prequel, which was recently, like, he was saying something at a convention, and it's like, it's also going to have like flash forwards and like, it's going to be a very, it sounds
flash
like
forwards
a,
to what
to like modern yeah. day to like modern day Supernatural
just,
stuff
just
like
Sam
just yeah just Sam Winchester, I guess,
being 104 years old
with a blurry wife in the background that he has no pictures of whatsoever. Like, what is your level of faith that they can bring back some of the magic of Supernatural and really like make something good? Because I am all over the place. Every time I hear something new, I just shake my head and I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, that's me too. I have no idea. Like, I'm like, on the one hand, they could like nail it. They definitely have enough materials in their hands that they could really make this work. But also there are so many pitfalls
that
they could just stumble into. And it's like, I'm not sure. I think that I will not like a lot of parts of it, but I think it might still be good.
Does the CW currently make anything that people consider to be good?
Currently?
And like, I was like, is there anything that like people are into? I watched season one of Nancy Drew. I thought that was pretty cool. But
I think people are like, still like really into Riverdale, right? Like that people like.
Riverdale is still on.
Is that still going?
I don't know. I've never watched. I watched the first episode and was like, I'm good. I'm not gonna.
Because this is like a format that you have to hit. You know, big movies sometimes do this. You gotta appeal to that audience. And I wonder if CW still has a formula that they try to hit. Was Supernatural outside of their standard formula? I think so, a little bit, but
yeah.
Thinking about
was, 'cause they were doing kind of like teen melodramas,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
then Supernatural doesn't quite hit that category,
and it doesn't quite hit like that DC. You know, we're straight up superheroes, and
it's not quite
costumes.
Like an old man show, but it's also like you know, it's not an old man show, but it's also has this massive audience of like really young teenagers.
Getting down to my when you get the demographic breakdown on YouTube, my like largest like age range is the like 18 to 35, but I have a good chunk of under 18 and a good chunk of over 50.
Wow.
Interesting.
It's like this kind of has a pretty broad audience.
Mm-hmm. God, I mean, I always say, you know, my dad watched all of Supernatural live. You know, mm-hmm. he told me it's a season Despair, I think, was his favorite episode of the season. But he's, you know, 65 years old. He's totally outside of who you would expect to like Supernatural. But that dude, he stuck with it the whole time for 15 damn years.
I tried to get my dad to watch it. He watched one episode. He was like, yeah, no, thank you.
You got farther than I did. I gave my dad my Blu-ray copies because I knew if he watch the ones on Netflix with the bad music, like I would never get anywhere, right? Like, right. I didn't think that
if
that
you have
happen.
Just like a little bit of like ignorant rock and roll in there, like that'll get a lot of older men into
exactly.
it
exactly yeah. I'm like, if they could have put some Limp Bizkit and some Incubus in there, like maybe that would have fully hooked him, but unfortunately it was still too early.
He's of a different generation, I see.
But
I got my dad hooked because he like came in while I was watching the Changing Channels episode, and he's going they're in the Impala and the Knight Rider theme is playing, and my dad like comes in like, are you watching Knight Rider? I was like, what are you watching? I was like, Supernatural, I'll send it to you.
It was that same episode that got my sister to watch it. I had it on, she came in, she was like, are you watching Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
Is that the guy from Gilmore Girls?
Absolutely, yes. To say yes to every question.
Yes,
they
and
ask.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't
like we convert people to religion. We're like, oh, have you seen?
yeah.
It's wild. I mean, like, because people, I've told the story on the podcast, but like, I'm very careful who I tell people that I have, like, who I tell that I have a Supernatural podcast, because it gets crazy answers from people. Like, one person just straight up asked me if I was a 14-year-old girl, which was like a weird question to ask to like a 38-year-old dude sitting at a bar. But yeah,
definitely.
And then I had a completely wild experience in New Orleans with a woman who's a drunken woman who just started ranting about Jared Padalecki, which we won't get into here. So it's very like the people that you meet that know Supernatural, and of course the people you see online, and like the people that consume the stuff is very, very interesting. But like, I think Chris, you ran into someone the other day who like watched the show and liked the show, but like didn't know the word Destiel, had no
online.
I'm just fascinated by like this dude watching Supernatural,
like,
in this tiny little
6 months ago at a party, meet this dude. My fiance brings up like, oh, Chris has a Supernatural podcast, blah, blah, blah. And then he starts just talking about it. Like, oh, super, and I was like, oh, so what did you think about like the Destiel moment? And he was like, what's that? And I just was like, oh, what? like you're like a young, he was younger than me. I just assumed like you're on the internet, you'll know about it. He had no idea what I was talking about.
You're on AO3, right? The kid's like,
you're on
what?
AO3, right? No? Oh, no. Oh, you're probably in the Facebook fan group. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's, you never know. It is always the people you least expect, at least in my experience. I don't remember what it was. A couple months ago, I was watching some gamer thing. There's just like, you know, five or six dudes in their 30s talking about a video game. And then suddenly they all bring up Supernatural, and all of them had seen all 15 seasons. And it was just like a passing comment, and then it was over. I was just like, whoa, what? Really? I thought it was, whoa, all right. Okay, interesting.
It's one of those weird things where like the most random people will be into it. And then like, but yeah, I don't bring up my YouTube channel a lot with people. There actually aren't even a lot of people that I'm like friends with that know that I do this, funnily. And I know some people in the film industry who worked on Supernatural, and they don't bring up that they worked on Supernatural.
Interesting.
Like other film sets, because like it's kind of perception.
That's interesting. My parents will text me sometimes and be like, what's the name of your podcast? I never know why they're asking me, so I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember. My cousin was just telling me, she was like, oh, my coworker listened to all of your podcasts. I was like, what do you mean? And she said they were talking about podcasts or whatever. She is able to look at a phone and figure things out without having to text somebody. So she said, oh, my cousin has this Monster of the Week, blah, blah, blah. And this dude, you know, another guy, an IT guy in his 40s, just absolutely loves. I made up the IT part and the 40s part.
Oh,
those
Jesus
are just details.
Who was
those
this
are
person?
Details I made up. He was an adult man. That's as far as I know.
Okay.
But yeah, he listened to the whole thing and loved Supernatural, whatever. Just another person, you know, I guess. And I guess my perception is just sort of shaped around Twitter. The people that we interact with on Twitter,
yeah,
tend to, mm-hmm, to skew into a certain way. So I'm always just surprised when there's these random dudes who I'm like, oh, what's up, dude? Hey, you like, yeah, this too, man? Oh, right on.
Yeah, they came for the rock and roll and the muscle car, and then they stayed for the sad, sappy moments.
Yeah, as they should.
You know, when I started watching the show, it was very much like, oh, like classic rock and shooting ghosts. Like, this is going to be great. And then they, mm-hmm, just killed it with the character stuff, right? And like, they kept, yeah, and I say killed it with like a large asterisk on the side. So I know there's a bunch of exceptions, mm-hmm, to it, but like the characters of the show, completely flawed as they are, like, are the reason that I kept coming back mm-hmm, every week, and would have kept doing it even if we hadn't done the podcast. I had slowed down on watching Supernatural around season 11. When they brought Mary back, and I was like, "Did really? We got to do that?"
I think this is the type of show that if they had just switched to like a slice of life show, or it just became like a courtroom drama, but it's Sam, Dean, and Cass, mm-hmm, I think that people still would have watched. I think at a certain point, it stopped being about hunting monsters. I mean, obviously, especially you and I, Jeremy, I know that was a big part of why we loved it to begin with. But at a certain point, yeah, it is just about the characters. It is just about their relationships. And I think that they maybe they should have switched something up at some point and changed the premise and just kind of rolled with it. I don't know.
Bob, you work in the movie industry. Fix Supernatural for us real quick. You got about 5
do
minutes.
Do you mind? Do you mind?
Oh, quick. I left my notebook in my other hand. They needed to figure out, I think half of the people working on it thought that they were still doing like an episodic kind of week to week monster hunt. And half of the people thought they were doing a character driven drama. And those two people never figured their shit out between each other and both just continued to write what they thought the show was about.
Right.
So you ended up with like a weird, like this episode really doesn't have any character stuff. And this episode has only character stuff. And I think they could have struck a balance that maybe in the long run was a little more, you know, balanced.
Actually yes, balanced. Yes. Yeah. Never forget like that first few episodes of season 15, which is like, oh, we let all of the ghosts out. And then like 4 episodes later, it's like, okay, time to go on a memory quest or
something. Don't worry. We got all the ghosts back.
Oh, Supernatural, we love you.
Kevin, too. Do we have anything nice to say about it? Obviously, if we're making content about it, it's because we like the show, right?
Yeah. I said the characters are okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I said that. That seems vaguely positive.
Yeah, you know.
So, it's filled with attractive people. I don't know if you want to say that.
we talk about, like, you know, pain. But, Bob, are there positive motivations for continuing to, you know, obviously make videos and talk about Supernatural?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very good show for a lot of it. I think despite all of its flaws, I think it's unfortunate that it had so many flaws, because I think it will eventually kind of become irrelevant. Not soon, hopefully. And it's a very good show, but I do think that it was a important stepping stone that a lot of shows will take further, is what I mean. They kind of like,
right,
you know, cleared a path. And I think eventually they will be overtaken by shows that carry on that legacy a little further.
No pun
hopefully
intended.
The Winchesters will end up being, yeah. Hopefully the Winchesters will end up being one of them and actually grow from where the show got them, is my hope.
It'll be interesting in 10 years to see, you know, the video essays that discuss how maybe Supernatural did pave the way for these other shows to be able to do the things that Supernatural sort of did with the confession, but then sort of dropped the ball with. It'd be interesting to see, like you say, that path forward, see where it leads us.
So you're saying without Supernatural, we wouldn't have Our Flag Means Death. You want to go on the record to say?
Yes, a one-to-one direct correlation between that. Yeah.
Direct stuff. But yeah, no, definitely having gone through film school in like 5 to 10 years, people are going to be writing essays about this show for sure. People who haven't seen, like didn't grow up seeing the show, are going to go research the show for essays.
Yes. Interesting. People still talk about Buffy. People still talk about The X-Files. Oh, yeah. Shows with maybe, I was going to say lesser cultural impact. I don't know if that's fair to say, but people are still talking about those things, right? And those things are 20 plus years old at this point, 30 years old in X-Files case. So it is really feasible to imagine in the next 5-10 years, everything that people are going to be saying about Supernatural still. Mm-hmm. And time is going to certainly change some perspectives on it. So I think it's got an interesting path ahead of it.
I think we've talked about this a lot, but like it's Supernatural is so unique in the time and the place of from which it lived. Like most people of a certain age remember, you know, a social media website like Tumblr, and just like that is so ingrained with Supernatural in their brains, right? Like you can't mm-hmm. pull the two apart at all. And it's just going to be one of those things that's always in the cultural zeitgeist when you think about like this 10 to 15 year time period. I'll be curious if like things continue on and like the show kind of retains the fandom and the audience and people keep rewatching it and like all of these new people coming in, and I say new quote unquote, but like a bunch of like, you know, newer podcasts that are approaching the show from just absolutely extraordinary angles and like doing some real interesting insight. If that keeps up, I'll just be curious if the actors can refrain from putting their foot in their mouths in conventions every single time they get up and talk. So, those boys, I swear. Just check in, everybody. Just check in before you say something.
Yeah. It's like me every convention, because if anything goes wrong, everyone like will email me. I'll get just a string of emails being like, are you going to make a video about that? So like every convention's coming up, I like just like sitting there like, please just be very neutral.
Just be normal, guys.
Just be normal, guys. God, I really did, because you and I had DM'd back and forth to arrange this, and then all of the stuff with Misha popped off, and I was like, I bet that dude's inbox is just an insanity right now.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's been a wild week.
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure. And I don't really want to get into the details on all that stuff. I don't think this is really the appropriate platform or anything. But just to say, like, since this is the first time we've recorded since any of that happened, like, if any of y'all are out there, and you know, no matter what sexuality you are, like, you're a person, you're here, you belong. Like, we love you. Like, that's just like full stop. Like, you are a person. Like, you don't have to rely on anybody else to prove you're anything. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think that's it, Chris. Do you have any further questions?
Is that it? Oh, I don't know. it was an intense couple of weeks, like you said, but no, I don't know. If you have any parting words, if you have anything that is really important to you to express, then no pressure. Just what's the thesis statement for your entire personality?
Yeah.
Told you I left my notebook in my other house.
All right, well, we'll get the notebook. We'll come back next time.
In that case, where can you be found on the internet?
I'm Bob West on everything, on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. I'm technically on Tumblr, but I don't know how the site works, so I'm not really.
Excellent.
I'm just, you know, I'm out there making content. I'm on AO3. I'm on everything. Just search Bob West, see if I'm there.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Well, everybody go check out all of Bob West's stuff. I'll link some YouTube videos in the show notes so you can go to a couple that I have watched that I think are good. In the meantime, this has been another episode of Monster of the Week. If you've been missing us, you can hear us on our other podcast, Still His Kingdom Keeps, where Chris and I have been discussing the TV show Merlin, which is just like Supernatural, but There's actually no buts to that. It's just like Supernatural.
Come
watch, everybody. It's only five. It's like 60 episodes. It's like a fifth.
It's not even a lot. Yeah. It's like a weekend.
Yeah. You guys can blow through this on Netflix. All of the original music is intact. It's great. Then you can listen to our podcast about it. It's a great time. You can also support us by leaving ratings and reviews on various podcast platforms or subscribing to us at patreon.com/monsteroftheweek. Until then, Chris, what is our classic catchphrase that we always use when we end an episode?
Stay cool, stay classy, uh-huh. And stay quiet.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing y'all yell. Keep it down.
Bye, everybody. So if I just hit stop,
whoa,
awesome, and I can download all of these tracks.
Bob, that was awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys. This is a blast.
Sorry for being so hostile before.
Yeah, wow.
You always know it's going to be a good episode of Monster of the Week when Chris starts screaming away from the mic. That's
I did scream. I did a little bit. You know, I've had a stressful couple weeks. I warned Bob before
you got on the call. I was like, Chris, I scheduled this at probably the worst time for Chris. He's going to come in with a little heat.
It's okay. Well, I tried to keep the heat to a minimum.
Like I said, chemistry. No. If you're not yelling, I don't know what you're saying.
Excellent. Excellent.
If you do need to take a minute and take a break, it's real, real easy for me to edit around this stuff. So don't worry about it. Normally we don't get into like, you know, super emotional or private stuff on a podcast, but if we go somewhere and then you're thinking about it tonight, you're like, I should not have said that to Jeremy and Chris. Just send me a DM and we can edit around it or what have you. It's no big deal. So.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Damn, I had all this like personal like childhood crap to bring up.
Well, we can go there. I'm just saying you can take it out later. So question number one, tell me about your father. How was your relationship with your dad?
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Hopefully. Am I side-eyeing my cat? You're going to behave, right? You're going to be quiet?
I have two Basset Hounds in the room with me. and one is a fresh adoption. We just got her from New Orleans, and she just has big emotions, and she has to express those verbally sometimes. Right now, they are completely snoozed out, but if like she has a big emotion, we may hear about it in the background.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I've got three cats who are
nice.
Two of them are currently next to me, just eyeing me like, ooh. Are you about to start something? Like, no, they're not. Just talking to no one. I have a snake in here too, but he's not going to say anything.
Ooh, a snake. My wife loves snakes. Like, I am very much the opposite. Like, I see a little garden snake in the yard, and I'm like, I have to run away. And then she goes, her dad lives with us, and she goes and runs and gets her dad, and is like, look, there's a snake. She's so excited. What kind of snake is it?
It's a corn snake, so he's not that big. He's about 5 feet, but he's only like an inch and a half wide.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I
just almost left the room.
I love snakes, and my husband's terrified, so he'll like come in when I've got it out. He'll be like, "Oop, nope," and I'll be like, "No, come back, it's fine."
Mm-mm. I'll let you do to finish up, and I'll come back later.
I used to work at shelter, so I have like all sorts of. We have a zoo here.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. My wife has horses, and for a while we had chickens. We're actually in the process of building a small barn on our property so that we can move the horses home. Mm-hmm. So it's supposed to be at a place that's like 30 minutes away. So I'm at 40 years old, I'm going to have to learn how to like take care of a horse, I guess. So we're not going to do it when she's out of town.
Yeah.
Should be super interesting.
Yeah. There's a learning curve, but you'll get it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's way more into it than I am, for sure. She has three horses, I think. So.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, we live a little too far in the city for horses, so I get to ride, but not very often.
If you don't mind, what part of the world are you from? You could be as vague as you would like to on that. Okay, cool. Excellent. Excellent. I like that area a whole lot. I've been to New York City a couple of times visiting friends, but my last job, I had to travel all over the country doing like software installation kind of stuff, and just got to go to some real random places, and that like other New York that nobody talks about is so beautiful. It's so good. So
yeah, we're pretty, and then we're really pretentious about the fact that we're pretty.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look at these mountains. Oh, the Catskills are so pretty. We have apples. You should come.
One of my employees was from that area, and we were based in Phoenix at the time, and we were on a trip, and I'm Southern born and raised, so I eat, like, you know, crawfish out of the road ditches and all this other stuff. So we were in Houston, and they happened to be doing crawfish, and she was like, I have never... She goes, I can eat seafood. She goes, but I, you know, even though I grew up kind of close to the ocean, like, I'm not really a seafood person. Like, what is this? And so I told, I'm such a mean boss. I got the waiter to, like, put, like, one of those, like, silver dish pans, like, on top of the plate of crawfish, so that so when he came out, he could, like open it with a flourish. And she screamed so loud. It was, I felt so bad. She was just genuinely shocked and horrified at the mud bugs.
Oh my god, amazing.
Well, it says a guest is here. I wonder if this has to be Chris. I mean, I didn't. It's either Chris or that one patron that you talked about.
They found me. They're just stalking me really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully not.
Hey, it's Chris.
Hey, sorry, I could not get Discord open. I know we're not using Discord, but you sent me the link to this.
Yes, via Discord. On Discord. I didn't know what the best way to do it would be. So,
anyway, hi, hello.
Hello. I know we don't usually use Zencastr, Chris, but you might want to hit settings and make sure the audio input is set to your correct mic so we don't have a repeat experience. Yeah.
It's using the right camera.
Excellent.
Camera. I just, geez, sorry, it's been a long day. It's using the right microphone. I'm not using any camera at all.
Yeah, I specifically said no to the video chat.
I'm just filming myself while I do this.
That's Patreon content right there, boy.
Yeah, it's just me alone in this disaster of a room. You can only hear my audio.
It's performance art.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, hi, Bob. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you, too.
I told Bob I figured we'd just kind of start this casual style. We'll introduce ourselves and then just kind of ask him questions and see where the conversation goes from there, unless you have some specific stuff you want to talk about, Chris.
I don't know. I don't have any pointed attacks to direct his way. So,
damn, I've been preparing all week.
I only interview with hostility, so there won't be any interviewing for me.
We went through every YouTube video you have and created a list of the worst comments.
Here are all the things that I'm mad about.
I'm ready. I work in the film industry. I only take criticism.
Okay. All right. Imagine just that we set this up like it was going to be a fun conversation, and then I'm like, no, I have a notebook and I have things to go over.
Yeah, Chris came in with an agenda. Chris, the nicest guy in podcasting, came in for the first time ever with an agenda.
I'm heated and I don't know why. I think I'm taking up my anger on the wrong person, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, man.
Okay. Enough horsing around.
Chris, was the wedding good? Did you have a good time at your wedding? Not your wedding, but your sister's
not
wedding.
My wedding. Yeah, it was okay. It was like, well, the 3 days of events leading up to it were pretty fun. By the time we got to the actual wedding and I realized I was in a room with 200 people for the first time in many years, that part wasn't as fun for me.
Yeah, no
but
doubt.
Then my nephew needed to go to sleep, so I was like, oh, I'll take him back to the hotel and watch his baby monitor and then watch TV. So that worked out for me.
Perfect. That sounds like a dream. Dream, like, and then you get to be like
perfect
Uncle Chris.
Wedding.
Yeah.
But you get to the added thing of being like, oh, look, I'm doing a nice thing for you.
Exactly. And he never even woke up. So I just I just drank. I watched baseball, which is sort of rare for me, but it was still, I was, you know, it was good. It was away. I was away from the crowd.
That's a good uncle thing to do. Like, you were in your uncle zone, so you were like, "I gotta watch. Yeah. I gotta watch the Pats."
Oh, dude, I was fully unked out. Anyway, yes, the wedding was all right. My sister had a blast, and it was her wedding, so you know that's important.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. Anyway, what's up? Is that what we're here to talk about?
Yeah. It was just I brought Bob on to talk about your sister's wedding. Oh, so. Yeah.
I didn't even know you guys knew my sister. That's crazy. Oh, okay. All right.
Well, this is gonna be fun. Well, I guess we'll jump into it. Like I said, Bob, I'm Jeremy, and then I'm Chris, and then just say I'm Bob, and then I'll kind of introduce the podcast and go from there.
Sounds good.
Chris, are you ready to rock?
I'm on the verge of a sneeze, but let's just play it. Let's just see what happens.
No, I mean, we can wait. How long do you want us to wait? 60 seconds?
I don't know.
90 seconds?
I talked about sneeze is gone. Uh-oh. So if this sneaks up on me, that's your fault. Let's just roll.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fine. See, we do have a lot of hostility.
I told you I'm hostile today.
I didn't know it was going to be directed towards me. I don't like it. All right.
Random targets. All right. Sorry.
I'm going to start recording in Zencastr. Bob, if you'd like to record locally, you absolutely can. Otherwise, this program should take care of everything for us. So,
yeah, I have no idea how to do that. So you're good.
Okay, cool. Good. This is all going to work out really well.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Thank you.